This is Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Masser and Bloomberg Quick Takes' Tim Stenovic on Bloomberg Radio.
Hey, Katie, I don't know if you saw this. A story caught our attention. It's about Greenwich home listings plunging to a record low in the fourth quarter. So we've seen kind of a buying frenzy in Greenwich, but apparently it's slowing down big time.
Yeah, it's interesting to finally see some of that. I mean, you have to wonder if it comes back to supply, because I mean, that has been a theme in the housing market, that demand is there. There's just not enough houses to sell.
Well, let's see what our next guest has to say, whether she's running out of supply. She has been involved in selling homes for three decades and apparently spent some time on a flight with our co-host Tim Stenovic and his one-year-old son at the time. I believe it was a red eye, and Tim says she was a gem and made the flight so much easier. Let's bring in Louise Phillips Forbes, real estate broker at Brown Harris Stevens. She has achieved more than $4.5 billion in sales over her career and closing as many as 200 deals in a single year. She joins us on the phone in New York City. Louise, so nice to have you here with Katie and myself. And Tim does send his regards and was very sorry that he couldn't be here.
Well, it is all good. I am grateful to have a little girl gang today. No offense, Tim.
Deal. Hey, listen, you have seen a lot of real estate cycles, highs, lows. How would you describe the cycle that we are in right now? What are you seeing specifically from your client base, and do you have enough inventory?
Absolutely not. And, you know, in the middle of the pandemic, nobody ever thought that we would be saying that, whether it's a rental, a townhouse, or a development project. And I will say that it is, you know, exciting to sort of watch this fast moving market because of lack of inventory.
And at what point does this turn into almost a buyer's strike, that, okay, there's not enough inventory, you're seeing prices skyrocket? When does demand simply cool down because prices on these homes are too high?
Well, you made an observation earlier in your, you know, talking about the prices plummeting in Greenwich. And, you know, honestly, I think that is a very, I would be careful to be reporting the numbers on the numbers. But also you have to remember, sometimes you get things picked over and the cream of the, you know, the best of the best is selected. And when you have something that's been dormant or not on the market, you bring it on and you try to capture your next door neighbor's price, which is a very different asset.
Well, it's interesting. All right, so talk to us about, you said you don't have enough inventory. It's kind of exciting to watch this fast-moving market because of that. So who's buying? What's the movement we're seeing? What kind of properties are you seeing being bought, sold? Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, I think what's the thing that is so exciting, and again, three decades, I've had my seatbelt fastened after September 11th, after the financial crisis. A global health crisis is a very different recovery, and nobody knows psychologically or financially what that's going to look like. So my experience is that we are witnessing across almost every sector, whether it's a $57 million deal at 220 Central Park South to 33% of first-time buyers purchasing and can afford to actually own cheaper than what it costs for them to rent, is a spectacular thing to experience. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead, please.
Well, I was just going to say that I think it's also in the last 6 months, I have watched the toes poking with our foreign buyers, and I think they're going to be seizing our development opportunities that have been lagging, the projects that have the last 10 or 15% of their projects. They're going to be absorbing those, and I think that's something that I'm already experiencing that, doing deals from South Korea, Mexico, London, people coming back to the market.
Mm. And I want to wrap in mortgage rates to this conversation, you know, about home buying, because you are seeing mortgage rates really start to move just in the past couple of weeks. I think a 30-year loan, the average rate is now just about 3.6% or somewhere under it. You know, people see mortgage rates going higher and they get a little bit nervous. Carol already knows that I am certainly not looking for a home right now. Would like to one day. I mean, for, you know, potential first-time home buyers looking at these rates, I mean, should they lock in a mortgage now? Are rates only going higher?
I think that would be fair to say. I mean, I came into the business 32 years ago and interest rates were 12.4%. So for me to borrow $100,000, it was about $1,200 a month. And today you can get for less than $400 a month, a $100,000 mortgage. So I think that the buying power is one of the things that, you know, when you have a crisis, which we've been in, our government has like utilized the interest rates to fuel our economy, and it has done so. It's got people off who saved all this money during the pandemic. God knows we didn't go anywhere. Mm-hmm. And we saw the refinance and the origination of the mortgages to be $1.61 trillion, and we're projecting more than that for 2022. But we'll see if interest rates become those climbing, if that's going to scare people off or create a sense of urgency.
So as it sounds like true blue New Yorker, at least you've been here for a long time, you know, in terms of the cries of, okay, the big urban areas, nobody wants to live there anymore because of work from home. I talked with Chuck Robbins of Cisco. They've been hybrid pre-pandemic. And, you know, that was, he says, one of the things pandemic, that one of the great advantages is that you can work anywhere and you can hire employees who want to live anywhere. What of the pandemic, though, is changing the housing market in a city like New York?
Well, for true blue New Yorkers like myself, those people who, you know, bought my house in Woodstock or tried to buy my house in Montauk or the Hamptons in Bridgehampton, you know, a lot of people fled and they're like, holy moly, it's winter and what am I doing here? Nobody's here. Or they really are missing the pulse of the city. And I do believe that we have been experiencing, and you can see from the surge of the transactions last spring, we couldn't even process the deals fast enough. I mean, it was, and those were people that were previous owners in New York or people who've been renting, saved enough money, and they're first-time buyers. So I believe that we are going to, and again, if we talk about work from home, I mean, I'm married to a serial entrepreneur, and yes, there are a lot of people that can utilize hiring in New York, local tech firms that can hire people in other areas.
Luis, like Carol and I were talking about, commercial real estate, really interesting time with this pandemic. What's the future there? Because, you know, as we were saying, a lot of behaviors have changed when it comes to where people are working, where people are shopping.
You know, I'm not an expert at commercial, but what I am an expert is at people, and commercial deals are going to bring people continuously. And if you look at venture capital money that we saw invested in local tech firms in New York, including my husband's company, you know, last spring, they closed over $12 billion of local tech venture capital money. That is going to bring people. And you look at companies like Noom. I mean, I never heard of Noom 3 years ago. They took 115,000 square feet from Brookfield. Take a look at the top big four, Amazon, Facebook, Google, Apple. They gobbled up 3 million square feet. And what that brings is people. And we're projecting, listen, during the heart of darkness, I saw probably every appointment downtown in the East Village with somebody relocating from L.A. or San Francisco, from tech firms to New York. And they want a piece of the apple.
Well, at the same time, Louise, what we are also seeing, you know, it's not just Elon Musk who's moving to Austin or who's moving to other places in Texas or financial firms moving to Florida. We are seeing, you know, for a society in America that hasn't moved around a lot in the last few decades, they've kind of stayed put. We are starting to see more movement. What are you seeing along those lines when it comes to your market, your residential clients?
I mean, listen, we have been hearing about, everybody's moving to, you know, it's going to be like mini Miami, it's going to be little New York, because people are wanting to benefit from lower taxes. And I think that's going to be normal sort of transitions that we're going to experience. But listen, I think tech is 10.5% of our GDP across the nation, and it's going to continue to affect and drive other cities, whether it's Portland, Oregon, Austin, Texas, Nashville, Tennessee. I mean, it's had over 12% growth year over year. I'm from Nashville. I don't even recognize it. And I think that there's enough for all of us to continue experiencing this wave, and people are going to look for a lifestyle. It's just going to be what's an opportunity for one, and what's right for one might not be right for another individual, but companies are going to be looking for opportunities. You know, we could look at Amazon as a case study that we didn't get that big deal that they were trying to put together, but they still bought a big asset. They are bringing thousands of employees here.
And Louise, we've talked a lot about buyers, but I want to talk about the other side of the deal, the sellers. I'm curious, have you seen people, you know, choose to sell their house, their property now just because the market is so hot? And I mean, we've been talking about the fact that there isn't a ton of supply of houses right now for a while now. I feel like, you know, it's really become a part of common conversation even outside of Bloomberg HQ. So I'm just wondering if that's brought some sellers off the sidelines.
I think what my experience and what I'm witnessing and the conversations that I've been having since the peak of the pandemic, when people were not sure, should I stay or should I go, that we are now clearly have a lack of inventory, and that they are owners that we are hoping, I'm hoping that I have them now ready emotionally, financially to seize the moment because it is their market. You know, they can call the shots a little better. They still have to be priced properly because the market's still incredibly efficient. And those houses in Greenwich might not be selling because actually they're just not worth it.
Okay. Hey, listen, great to check in with you. Louise Phillips Forbes, real estate broker at Brown Harris Stevens, joining us on the phone in New York City. Fascinating to hear that, that it's a pretty dynamic market. And we know that there's still building going on.
Oh, yeah. It's just, I don't know. It seems like houses, they take a while to build. At what point does we do see the supply crunch get alleviated? I have to think it's a couple of years.
Yeah, exactly.